You're listening to Paul Harris on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Several months ago, the Fox Television Network ran a show called Married by America. Because of that show and complaints that it generated, the FCC fined Fox over $1 million. To my knowledge, the largest fine they've ever handed out to any broadcaster for anything. It's part of the new culture of post-Nipplegate America. After Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl this year, the FCC has gone into a mode in which they are clamping down on, frankly, everything they can clamp down on. Ironic that it started with nipple clamps on Janet Jackson at the beginning of the year. One man decided to find out exactly who it was who's complaining about these things and how many of them there are. His name is Jeff Jarvis. Jeff was the guy who created and started Entertainment Weekly. He used to work for TV Guide and People. He has been a columnist and an editor and is now president and creative director of Advance.net. More importantly, he runs a terrific weblog called Buzz Machine, and he joins me now on the phone. Hello, Jeff.
Howdy, Paul.
I'm glad to have you on here. So you did your investigation, and how did you go about it? Before we get to the results, let's talk about the method.
It couldn't be simpler, and any citizen or citizen journalist should be able to do this. You go to the FCC site at FCC.gov, and there's a link on the left for FOIA, that is Freedom of Information Act requests. I went in there and I filled out a little form and asked to have all of the 159 complaints the FCC said had been brought in that caused this fine against Fox. And by the way, I thought 159 was a really low number and ridiculous that only 159 Americans could make this big change, but I wanted to see what they said. When you file these, you can also say that you don't want to spend more than a certain number of dollars. If they have to Xerox too many pages or spend too many hours, they'll charge you. But for me, this was free.
Okay, so let's go back to the notion of numbers here for just a second here. 159 complaints out of how many people allegedly watched it? What were the Nielsen numbers like for Married by America?
Oh, you're a good reporter, and you make me ask that I couldn't find out in time. Not enough, because the show was canceled. The Marketplace said, with its good taste, that it was a bad show and wasn't worth their time, and it was actually canceled by the censorship of the Marketplace, which is the way things ought to operate.
Yes.
So X millions of people watched the show, and 159 said the FCC had complained about it.
All right, let's just make a 5 million people watched it, let's say.
That'd be safe.
159 out of 5 million is a very, 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 very small percentage. You know, anytime it's going to have a point and an O on it, it's almost meaningless. But 159 people allegedly complained about it.
That's
say allegedly. I said allegedly because what did you find out when you got the paperwork back from the government?
Well, I wanted to read all those complaints because I had a suspicion about what was going to happen, and it was even worse than my suspicion. The FCC admitted in their letter to me that, well, it wasn't 159 actually with a bunch of CCs on the emails to the same people. It was actually 90 complaints. That's bad enough. And that really it was generated by 23 people. So that's bad enough, right? So now it's 23 people are affecting what all of us can watch. But here's the good part. They sent me, as I requested, a copy, an electronic copy, of all of the complaints. And I looked through them all, and all but two of them were virtually identical, which is to say that only three people, those two people who wrote their own letters and one person who wrote the letter that was copied by 20 others, took the time to sit down and actually write a letter. Three people in America out of millions who could watch or millions who did watch, three people started this off to cause five FCC commissioners to say what the rest of us can and can't watch in America.
And cause the largest fine in American broadcasting history.
$1.2 million.
Okay. Now, I want to go even further into this because you talked about there being CCs, and I'm guessing they sent it to more than one FCC commissioner, and that's how the numbers multiplied there.
Right.
But these three people, one of whom had a bunch of other people copy their own letter and, you know, Xerox it and send it on in, and so that did it. Now, who are those people? Who are those three complainers?
Who knows? The FCC redacts the personally identifiable information, but it's not hard to guess where that can be. And we'll get to this, I'm sure, in a minute, but after Saving Private Ryan was on, one of these fairly, shall we say, conservative groups put up a complaint form where all you really have to do is put in your name and hit send, and it sends it in with a complete letter.
Yep, that's Donald Wildman's American Family Association in Tupelo, Mississippi, which
you
has
got him.
Tried to cause this sort of trouble many times in the past. And this time around, the FCC has put so much fear of fine in so many broadcasters that 66 ABC affiliates across the country, including Sinclair's Channel 30 here in St. Louis, refused to air the movie, even though it had aired twice before. And in the only complaint they'd ever gotten about it before was from, guess who, Donald Wildman's son, Tim.
Yeah, and you know, there is a real chill on free speech in our country. I dearly love our First Amendment. That's the essence of America to me, is that we can all say what we think, and that we all have intelligence, and we don't need the government telling us what we should hear or see. We don't need mullahs in the White House and in the executive branch and in Congress. But because of Janet Jackson Gate, there's been this rush to act as if we need, you know, blinders over our eyes for this stuff, and that's an insult to all of us. Americans said they didn't like Married by America, and they dropped it.
Yep.
And Fox dropped it. And
yep,
that's the way the market spoke. And that's the way it should operate. You know, on the next Super Bowl, you are not going to see one square inch of bare flesh of any part of the body, because CBS isn't going to want to have another firestorm and lose money and lose advertisers, right?
And it has nothing to do with the FCC fine. It has to do with the fact that lots and lots of people were unhappy with what they saw, not just for a split second of Janet Jackson's nipple, but of the whole halftime performance and some of the ads that were running during the Super Bowl. There was backlash against the network, but that's how America should work. As you say, the marketplace should give you negative feedback and say, we don't like this, stop doing it. And then a responsible person who wants to serve their consumers would say, you know what? They don't like it. We're not going to do it again.
But on the other hand, if you want to run, you know, PTL television, or you want to run the what is it, 700 Club?
Yep.
You know, you can find a station where you can pay the money and you can put that on. And I don't like it when they talk about gays the way they talk about gays. Right? I'm here. I am an Easterner, and I think it's I'll fit to my stereotype of red and blue for that moment. Right? But hey, if you want to listen to it and you want to say it, that's what makes America great. And I've got a remote control, and I can change that channel.
Now, I want to pose a hypothesis for you, and you tell me if you think this bears any fruit. I think that the FCC, especially under Michael Powell now, but with these five commissioners in there, I think they're chomping at the bit to clamp down. But because of the way they're set up, they can't clamp down ahead of time. That would be restraint of free speech, which is...
Wait,
I didn't get there yet. Hold on. That's what they say. The broadcasters last week even said, can we show Saving Private Ryan or will you fine us? And the FCC said, we can't tell you ahead of time. We only react to complaints. Well, you have found out through your very simple investigation that only three people were responsible for those complaints, and yet the commission still acted against Fox with a $1.2 million fine, which tells me that they are already... to clamp down on people. They already have made their judgment about it. They're just waiting for the knock on the door. Is this true?
Well, yes and no. Here's the issue. The FCC should have said something to those stations last week, because the FCC changed its ruling on the F word after Bono said it, and so the stations were properly confused and said, hey, things have changed. Tell us what the rules are. The first problem is an enforcement problem. The FCC is being inconsistent and vague in its enforcement. It's not telling people what the rules are. So that means that everybody's scared of everything. And that's wrong. That's unconstitutional in itself. You don't have vague rules that nobody can figure out. That's the first problem. The second piece is, you're right, they're also looking politically to do this. You know, Michael Powell has said some very eloquent things in defense of the First Amendment in the past. And he's changed course because he got into some political hot water over broadcast consolidation and other things, and he's trying to curry favor, and he's got some very conservative people on the FCC, including, by the way, Democrats. Michael Copps is the most conservative member of the FCC, and he's a Democrat. And so, yes, they're chomping at the bit, but they very well could say, there should be a simple rule. You either can or cannot say the F word. They won't even do that.
This is the biggest problem I have, is that the FCC doesn't, and I'm a broadcaster for 26-plus years, I don't know exactly what the FCC won't permit me to do. I do know what my employer will not permit me to do.
Which is the way it should operate. Your employer should have his own rules.
But even my employer, which is Infinity, a division of CBS, a division of Viacom, which was involved in not only the Super Bowl, but the Howard Stern thing and others that have come up this year, my employer isn't sure what the FCC rules are, so they have to pass on what they think the rules are to me. Now, I'm not an edgy host. I don't go anywhere near the kind of level of Stern or Man Cow or stuff that gets on cable television. Or I don't do one of those kind of shows. But it would be nice if I had a list in front of me when I started my career or updated every year that says, here are the things you may not do on your show.
Or you'll get sued.
Or you'll get sued or fined.
Right. Now, here's where the rub comes worse. Is that in the legislation that's gone through Congress for what I call the indecent indecency legislation, they're going to go after the people like me, the guest. If I sat on your air right now and got past your delay and said F. Bush or F. Kerry, right, mm-hmm. whatever, as a political statement, I could be fined personally up to $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
I could be fined into bankruptcy by the FCC
mm-hmm.
for making a political statement, not perhaps a too colorful political statement, but that's wrong. That's just on its face. That's wrong in America. And that's what's going through Congress, again, because of this panic. There's a bigger thing that's going on here, too, is that what I really struck me about this three people who wrote the letters on the Fox show is it reminds me of an old Foreign Legion movie where they only have three soldiers, but they put helmets up on sticks, 200 helmets on sticks over the edge of the fort to make it look like there was a whole army.
Right.
And that's really what's happening here. And there's this assumption that, a really insulting, condescending assumption, that if you don't live on either coast, you're a red state and you're conservative and you're Bible thumping and you're right wing and you're trying to take over America, and that it's kind of one or the other. Well, I'm from the Midwest. It's not true. We're all kinds of people all across the country, and there isn't some moral values army come to take over the country. And that's the problem. My own colleagues in media have made that assumption. It's become accepted wisdom, and it shouldn't be accepted. And so what we did in this case was we said, wow. Tons of complaints storming in about Married by America. Well, no. Three people sat down in their dens and wrote a letter to the FCC. That was it. And so the same thing that we do there, we're doing after the election, and that stupid question about moral values that came out of the poll. Who's going to say I'm against moral values, right? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the amoral part of the electorate, right? that's absurd and stupid. It was a bad poll question. But now we're making assumptions about the character of America because of this. And I really object to that more than even the FCC's actions. And I think that's what we need to question in the media and in weblogs and all over and talk. And no, people are people across the country. And we're reasonable. There's some very, very religious people and some people who don't believe in religion. And we're both allowed here. And that's what makes America great. And the FCC should not be in a position to enforce one view versus another. We're all big boys and girls, and we can all have discussions, and we can all disagree and figure out how to get along with that.
Jeff Jarvis, his web blog is called BuzzMachine.com. We'll take a break and come back with more on The Paul Harris Show. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.
It's Paul Harris on KMOX.
Talking with Jeff Jarvis, who is in print at TV Guide and People and Entertainment Weekly and the San Francisco Examiner, and is now running an online company and his own weblog called Buzz Machine, in which he did a little investigation of the FCC to see how many people really complained about that Fox show Married by America that got the network fined $1.2 million. And he found that of the only 159 pieces of paper the FCC actually had on this in their complaint file, they were essentially generated by three people. Three people complained, $1.2 million in fines for the network because of those three complaints. By the way, Jeff, did you see Married by America?
I think I might have seen about 2 minutes of it, but I had too much taste to watch.
Yeah, I didn't watch it at all. It's not my taste either. But, they put those things on TV, and they fail, and then they go away. And as we said before, that's how the marketplace should work.
Yeah, I'm an old TV critic from TV Guide and People, and what that really taught me was to have trust in the taste of the audience. Contrary to everything that's always said about us, we have good taste. Give us good shows to watch, and we'll watch them. Give us only Beverly Hillbillies to watch. Well, we have no choice. We'll watch that, too. And you know what? The reality stuff is fun. Some of it's better than other things. The reality craze is going to die like every other craze before. We enjoy it for a little while, and then we move on to the next thing.
But let me ask you about the F word, which wasn't even said in that show, by the way. And they didn't even show people having sex. It was suggested, but it wasn't shown. And if they were going to go by that, I think they'd have to take every soap opera off the air.
Yeah.
But about the F word, Dale Earnhardt Jr. got in trouble with NASCAR for saying it a few weeks ago on NBC, and in fact, it may have cost him in the standings in NASCAR this year. Tyler Palko, the quarterback for the University of Pittsburgh Panthers, said it during a post-game interview on Saturday. Last night, Monday Night Football showed Terrell Owens doing some things with one of the actresses from Desperate Housewives that's caused some people to be a little upset about it. Are these isolated incidents, or is this a growing problem that people who are concerned about these things on TV have a right to be concerned about?
Well, you know, on the one hand, has the Republic crushed? Have we fallen apart because people uttered the word? Should they have uttered it? No. We do have standards and decorum, and when people go on the air, you know, they should know better than to say that. However, people get excited. They don't know the camera's on them. It's an age of reality TV. People talk like people talk. All you have to do is go to any street corner in any town, and you're going to hear it. And so, you know, are we going to be able to eradicate bad words from the language because of the FCC? No. Should people have more sense than that to say it on TV? Yes. Is it going to tear down the Republic? No. Is it an indication of some kind of trend? No, I don't think so. I don't think it's anything to be worried about or wring our hands about. People should have more sense than this. In the end, what it's really going to do is it costs TV stations money to put on delay machines.
That's right, yeah.
That's really it. On the Today Show, what happened, it wasn't the F word, it was the S word, when the attorney supposedly representing Rosa Parks the other day objected to her name being in the same Outkast lyrics with Up Creek, and he said it twice. Well, all right, so he said it. And the problem is, when new legislation comes out, any of those people we've talked about could be fined huge amounts of money for saying that.
Yep.
Huge. And that's really troublesome. There's something way wrong with that, where Congress is giving the FCC kangaroo court capability to fine you up to $3 million for uttering one word in this country.
You know what bugs me in this whole argument, which we haven't talked about yet, is, well, we have to protect the kids. This was the thing that people were saying last week, remarkably, about Saving Private Ryan. Well, I'm not sure that the FCC should crack down on them, but I am glad that somebody's going to protect the kids of this country. The kids of this country weren't going to be watching Saving Private Ryan with their own eyes unless mom and dad weren't doing their job. And that, to me, is the bigger problem in America, that we now want this nanny government. We've got a nanny culture. I can't protect my kids. Won't somebody else please do it? I did a little bit of research here. Even though it was not shown on one-third of the ABC affiliates, Saving Private Ryan got almost 8 million viewers, which is pretty good for a movie that's been out years and years and has been on television twice before. Of those, 7.71 million is the exact number. 7 million of them were 18 or older. Only 4% of the audience, 280,000, were kids under the age of 12. And we never know exactly whether they were actually watching or they were around or what that number is because of Nielsen's technology and how they do this. But think about that. 280,000 kids under 12 may have seen Saving Private Ryan. ABC also recently showed It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. 26% of the audience for that broadcast was in that same 2 to 11 age group. In other words, parents in this country can figure out what's right and wrong for their kids without the government being involved.
Right. And if we get to the point where we need the FCC to operate in loco parentis, we're in trouble.
Yep.
And that's really not what it should be. In fact, I don't want the FCC making decisions that I should be making as a parent.
Yep. And not only that, the FCC is not only making decisions that affect children, but it also affects all the adults who might have wanted to see that movie on television last week.
It's that bigger problem of a culture of complaint and a culture of offense.
Yep.
One person is offended, no one may hear. It's a new definition of lowest common denominator that turns all life into tapioca.
We'll come back with Jeff Jarvis from BuzzMachine.com in just a moment and include your phone calls at 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. This is the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. It's the Paul Harris Show, weekdays from 2 until 6, here on News Talk 1120. KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Talking with Jeff Jarvis, who wrote about television for People Magazine and TV Guide, created Entertainment Weekly, and now runs an online company and has his own weblog called Buzz Machine. We're talking about the FCC's chilling year, from Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl to Saving Private Ryan, not on Channel 30, and 65 other stations across the country last week, and other actions that they have taken this year, including a $1.2 million fine against the Fox Television Network for a thing called Married by America. We go to the phones, and Denny, you're on KMOX. Hello. I'm sorry, Denny, go ahead.
Yeah, this is a fascinating discussion, and I've got a couple of questions, if I may. First, does the stations have any recourse when they get these fines? Do they have no way to appeal or go to court to try not to pay them?
Jeff?
Yeah, they absolutely can go to court. Well, one of the complaints you've heard about the tactics of the FCC is that Howard Stern has said the problem with the earlier settlements that were made on his behalf was that he and Viacom, Infinity at the time, wanted to fight them, but Mel Karmazin, the then head of Infinity, said that the FCC was holding up applications for purchase and renewal of licenses because of the Stern stuff was there. So they had to settle to do that, which is a form of blackmail in the company's view. And so now Stern will fight, and Viacom will fight the latest fine against him, and they're going to fight the fine on the Janet Jackson case as well.
That's what I was saying last week about the Saving Private Ryan thing. When are more companies going to grow a spine and fight back against that? Do you see that happening, Jeff?
Well, I hope so. I think I barely see it happening. And finally, we saw editorialists last week. The Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, the New York Times all wrote editorials about the Saving Private Ryan case. The New York Times, I think, got it wrong and blamed the stations. The other two got it right and blamed the FCC. And the problem was that people weren't out there defending free speech and the First Amendment against the FCC because, oh, gosh, it's just Howard Stern's free speech. Well, Howard Stern's speech is the same as our speech. We're all citizens. We all have the same right. And if you don't defend his, yours are going to go away, too.
Yeah, people were calling me last week and saying, Sinclair's done it again in St. Louis. And I had to say, you know what? Sinclair's not alone. In fact, a company called Cumulus was the first to pull it off, three stations in Iowa and elsewhere. And Sinclair joined in and was one of those that did chicken out. But I don't put the blame on them. I blame Sinclair for a lot of other things and for a lot of bad decisions. But that one, I put squarely at the feet of the FCC. We go back to the phones. Here is John on KMOX. Hello.
Hello. We really don't have any right to free speech in this country. And I say that because you can't just automatically open up any radio station that you want. You have to go to the federal government, you have to get a license, and they have to do it. I'm not saying that I have a problem with that, but isn't that a restriction of free speech by your own definition?
Well, in one sense, yes, but part of you're exactly right in the sense that's what led to the FCC regulations that exist and the Supreme Court rulings that exist under the belief that the public airwaves were a limited resource. But that was back in the days when you had three stations. Now you have all kinds of ways. Now, the thing about a weblog is you can go tomorrow to blogger.com, put in a few minutes of time, and you can be publishing to the world, literally to the world. And so there are all kinds of new ways and new media that really make the airwaves no longer scarce. Most kids today don't even know the difference between rabbit ears and cable. Only 11% of America gets TV over rabbit ears. Everybody else gets it over cable. And so there really is no distinction anymore in reality between broadcast and cable, yet there is a legal distinction in what can be done on broadcast versus cable, and that's antiquated.
All right, thanks for calling, John. Yeah, my daughter, who's 10, let's not even talk about her. My engineer, Kevin, who's 23 years old, he's never lived in a world where there were only two, three, four options. There have always been all these cable and satellite options that you could choose from. And to him, you know, channels 2, 4, 5, 11, and 30 here in St. Louis are no different than ESPN, MTV,
right.
VH1, CNN, Fox
really
News
goes.
Channel.
Now the Internet comes along, so that when Jon Stewart gave hell to the guys at Crossfire, That segment was recorded, and it got at least four or five times the audience through Internet sharing than it did on big old CNN.
Yep.
And so all of media is changing, and it's really hard to just say the broadcast is a special zone anymore.
Cliff, you're on KMOX. Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hi, Cliff.
Last week, KMOX was advertising a commercial for Cordislim, which had a vulgarity in it. I called and complained, and KMOX thought it was vulgar, too, and they yanked it. But according to your standard, you think KMOX should have kept running it.
No, absolutely not. And I'm sure Jeff will agree with me on this.
I agree with you, Paul. Absolutely not.
Okay, here's how it works, Cliff. You hear something on this radio station that you don't like, you bring it to management's attention, and it's up to management then to make that move. Now, I'm guessing that commercial that came in here either was from our network or flew in under the radar or something, and our program director and general manager were not aware of the content of the commercial, and once you brought it to their attention, they rightly went in and yanked it off the air. However, I would not want you, Cliff, to be able to file a piece of paper or an electronic complaint with the FCC in Washington saying, I heard something on KMOX, and even though our bosses here wanted to keep it on the air, the government making them take it off. That's what we're complaining about here. The government, not private industry, doing it. Our company has the right to put on or not put on what it thinks the consumer wants and the consumer should hear. You as a consumer have a right to complain to us, just like if you went to a McDonald's and got a bad hamburger, you could go back and say, hey, I got a bad hamburger. Same thing happens here with radio and with television and with pretty much any other business in America. But the government shouldn't be in there telling McDonald's, you sold a bad hamburger, you owe us $10,000.
Well, I heard the equation of, you know, well, you got a button on your remote, you can always just switch it. And I think that was being used last week talking about Private Ryan. And I thought you were equating the same thing. Like, I thought you were saying, well, if you didn't like what we were saying, you know, switch the channel.
Jeff,
well, that remains your first option, absolutely. I mean, the issue here, Paul said it very well, is we shouldn't have the government telling us what we can and can't hear and say, right? So you, however, have every right to go to a station and say, your first vote is I change the channel. You're going to get less audience. You're going to make less money because I don't like what was there. Or I do like what's there, and I'm going to watch it. That's your first vote. The next vote is you went to the effort, good for you, to call and say something. And the station listened and did something. That's the way it's supposed to operate.
But let me
without
ask you
government
this.
Interference.
But, Cliff, let me ask you this. What if you had complained to my bosses, and they hadn't taken that commercial, whatever it was, if they had not taken it off the air? What would you have done then?
Well, immediately after I complained, I did call Cordeslim in a complaint, and they said, what station's playing this? They didn't believe it was being played. And I told them, and I guess they called KMOX, too. You know, they said, we'll get in touch with our marketing department. They, evidently, they didn't even know what commercials they're playing.
But in the end, I think that's a good ending to the story. It's a happy ending, right?
Yep.
Somebody made a mistake and did something they shouldn't have done, but you caught them on it on behalf of other viewers, and that's fine.
That's exactly how it should work. As long as the government wasn't involved in the equation, it's a good thing. And isn't it ironic, Jeff, that a lot of the same people who are saying, we need smaller government, we need government to do less in this country, when it comes to this and what you do in your bedroom, they want more government.
Yes. It is kind of a scary, frightening thing. And what I'm shocked that more people aren't complaining about this, aren't surprised about this. And that's why this wonderful number of only three people sitting down to write is kind of great, because it really points out the absurdity of what's happening.
Now, when we started talking about what you had done here, you talked about the Freedom of Information Act and talked about yourself and other, quote, citizen journalists. Expand on that concept again for just a moment.
Sure. I mean, by training, I'm an old reporter, and so I know how to do this stuff. But right now, I'm doing this only on a weblog at buzzmachine.com to get in another plug.
Yep.
And anybody can do it, right? I know people in Iraq and Iran who are blogging. They go to a service called Blogger. They're up. They're free. You can publish anything to the world. So that means anyone who's listening right now could go around tomorrow and start publishing to the world. And then you can turn around, too, and you can use the tools that are your right in this country to report. You can use local laws, I'm sure, to find out your mayor's expense account. You can go on websites of government agencies and demand to see information, and you have a right to that information under Freedom of Information, and you can then turn that around and put that on your weblog and publish it to the world. I know people in various towns who put up the salaries of every single city worker in a small town to say, is this guy really worth it? That's your right. And that means that everybody is now a publisher, everybody's a journalist, everybody can be a muckraker, and we all kind of get even at this. And as a journalist, I think that's a great thing. Some would say that's competition to us who are professional journalists. I think it's the opposite. I think it means that we'll have more information, more news, more diverse opinions, more perspectives, and this is a good thing for democracy. It's more conversation.
And isn't it interesting that Jeff did this on his weblog online, and now I've picked it up and put it on the broadcast media, and I'm sure he's done interviews elsewhere. And I know, even if he's not doing interviews, other members of the so-called mainstream media have picked up what you've discovered by your simple Freedom of Information request to the FCC to show that it's a small, small, small number of people who are complaining, and yet the FCC is responding with huge fines and chilling effects on broadcasting all over America.
And it's an important story, but anybody can do important stories like this. That's a great thing of this new age of citizens media of ours.
Jeff, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Paul. It was great.
Jeff Jarvis. The website is buzzmachine.com. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.